إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. What we're going to present for you tonight, inshallah ta'ala, is a summary of the Umrah trip. Inshallah ta'ala, share with you some of the benefits and a reminder for all of us of the importance of this trip of making Umrah and Hajj. And first, we convey the salam. Convey the salam of our noble mashayikh. Our mashayikh whom we have met and sat with, alhamdulillah, in their classes or in some those in their houses or in the masajid. All of this from the bab of sharing with you some of the benefits, inshallah ta'ala. As we know, going to Mecca and Medina for the purpose of making Hajj or Umrah, and keep in mind visiting Medina has nothing to do with Hajj or Umrah, but there is a lot of virtue, alhamdulillah, because the Umrah and Hajj, they are all performed in Mecca, and especially the Hajj in Mecca and Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifa, as you know. This trip is unlike any others. This is the best journey for the Muslims, because these are journeys of ibadah, journeys of worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go and perform Hajj or Umrah, you're going to perform an act of worship, that you are rewarded and you get a lot of benefits from it. So the Muslim should keep in his mind that this is the best of all journeys. It's said that sometimes you find some Muslims, they've been everywhere, in Europe, Italy, Switzerland, been to South America, safari of Africa and Tanzania, they've been to Japan and China for the Great Wall, as they say, but then they never made Hajj. No Hajj, no Umrah, but they've been all over Europe, Africa, and the like. And that's sad indeed. This is the best trip we can make, because this is ibadah, is an act of worship. And there is a great benefit. It's a great benefit. SubhanAllah, if you mention one example, the Salat itself. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that salat, one salat in the Masjid al-Haram, which is in Mecca, where the Kaaba is better 100,000 times. One salat is better 100,000, yes, that's right. You're hearing it right, no mistake. 100 times better than any salat anywhere else. Huh? 100,000, not 1,000, 100,000. Now, than any other salat in any other place. It's a ni'mah, one salat. If you convert it to years, that's 56 years. And if you pray, and the ulama, they mention, because of the texts, the general texts, this includes the obligatory prayers and the optional prayers as well. When you pray Tahiyyat al-Masjid, it's 100,000 times better. When you pray the Sunnah, Duha, Tahajjud, Witr, it's 100,000 times better. Allahu Akbar. Ni'mah. You're not going to find this in Japan, China, and safari of Kenya and the like. It's only there at the Masjid al-Haram. and the tawaf, and you make the umrah, subhanAllah, as we're going to mention the virtues of umrah and the like. And also in Medina, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned the virtue of praying in his masjid. He says, an isalat in masjidi hada, in his masjid, is a better 1,000 times. 1,000 times in any other place, except for what place? Al-Masjid al-Haram. Because it's 100,000 times. And that's a great ni'mah and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That incite the Muslims to keep on his mind that if you want to save some money to go somewhere, this is the place you want to be at. You got to go to Mecca to perform the Umrah. And of course Hajj first. And so that you can be able to be there in the best places on earth. Aina. We relate to you the salam of our noble mashayikh, the like of our noble Shaykh al-Walid, Shaykh al-Allama, Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah. Our Shaykh al-Allama al-Walid Ubayd ibn Abdullah al-Jabiri. Our Shaykh al-Allama al-Muhaddith Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad al-Badr and his son Abdul Razzaq. Our Shaykh al-Allama al-Doktor Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah. Our Shaykh الدكتور المحدث عبد الله البخاري حفظه الله and other مشايخ الشيخ صالح السحيمي الشيخ عرفات المحمدي and we had a surprise سبحان الله it was a big surprise سبحان الله as we weren't attending the class of our noble شيخ Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, because he gave classes at the Haram for years. He's been doing it for years. Now he's doing Sahih Muslim all over again. He finished the books al-Kutub al-Sitta, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah al-Nasa'i. Now he's doing it all over again. He finished Bukhari, now he's in Sahih Muslim in Kitab al-Nikah, the section of marriage. Some very benefits. Beautiful benefits. But as we, me and Muhammad, Amin and Brother Ramadan, we were sitting in the class of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, and of course we prayed in another side of the masjid by after Maghrib. By the time for us to walk and make our way, we find it's big crowd as it is, the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, thousands of people attend his classes. So as we were way behind, the Shaykh is giving his just started, Muhammad Amin looked and says, Abi. And here is a surprise. Sheikh Hassan al-Banna, Allahu Akbar. You know the Sheikh from Egypt? Sheikh who was here at the masjid. Hassan al-Banna. I turned and I saw him, subhanAllah, in a wheelchair, somebody pushing him. He came to make Umrah, we didn't know. So I said, let's go give him salam. Because the person is pushing him. I'm like, let's go. Give him salam. We went there. Assalamu alaikum. He said, Abu Muhammad Maghribi. He was so happy to see us. So, and then, subhanAllah, amazingly, I thought he was going somewhere. He came and sat in the class of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. And it was an honor, yaakhi, to sit right there with this old Shaykh Hassan al-Banna. He's attending the class of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin. Allahu Akbar. There was something, subhanAllah, it was amazing to sit right there next to you. You look at the Shaykh in his 90s almost now, and he's sitting right there paying attention, sitting in the class, learning. A Shaykh, a Allama, attending the class. Allahu Akbar, that was a ni'mah. Alayyin, inshaAllah ta'ala, first of all, let me read to you the from the book of Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, Adillat Wujub al-Umrah, the proofs that making Umrah is an obligation. Na'am. And as Shaykh bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, amongst other scholars, he says, وَالْوُجُوبُ عَلَى الْفَوْرِ لَيْسَ عَلَى التَّرَاخِي, that it is obligatory for a person to make Hajj and Umrah immediately when they have the ability to do so. It has nothing to do, you're still 19 or 18 or 23. It has to do with one thing. You have the ability to make it, you got to go make the Hajj. And this is something that some people, they may not know this information. They think like, look man, Hajj and Umrah, yeah, I'm going to make it once a lifetime, whenever, on their terms. No, not on your terms. If you have the ability, financially, physically, and the path is safe, then you have to go. Cannot go buy another track. You already have a car or two, you want to buy another one. You cannot just go ahead and spend that money on some vacations here or there. And you got to go make Hajj. And you got to make Umrah. Naam. So the Shaykh, he says, many a hadith indicates that performing Hajj and Umrah is an obligation. From them is the hadith of Jibreel. The hadith of Jibreel in one of the narrations, that the Prophet ﷺ, he gave him the answer when he said to him, أخبرني عن الإسلام. He said, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتحج البيت وتعتمر أي نعم وتغتسل من الجنابة وتتم الوضوء وتصوم رمضان. بهذه الزيادة أخرجه ابن خزيمة والدارقطني من حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه وقال الدارقطني هذا إسناد ثابت صحيح. So pay attention now in the hadith of Jibreel that is in four hadith, that is in Sahih Muslim, okay, on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu. In it, the Prophet ﷺ, he answered when Jibreel alayhi asked him about Islam, inform me about Islam. But here in this narration, that is from Umar as well, but is collected by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ad-Darqutni, that the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Islam is to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is his the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you establish the prayer, and you give the zakat, and you perform Hajj and Umrah, and ghusl from Janaba, and you perfect the wudu, and you fast in the month of Ramadan. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Hafidahullah, also in his book Tafsir al-Nasik bi Ahkami al-Manasik ala Dawi al-Kitab wa-Sunnah wa-Al-Ma'thur, yani as-Sahaba, he mentioned that same hadith. He mentioned that same hadith, that this ziyada is sahiha, it's not thabit, sahih. Likewise, from the adilla of the obligation of performing umrah is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, أنها قالت يا رسول الله هل على النساء من جهاد قال عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه الحج والعمرة. أخرجه أحمد بن ماجه بإسناد صحيح. شيخ بن باز رحمه وتعالى also mentioned this hadith. Of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, O Messenger of Allah, is it any jihad upon the women? He said, yes, upon them is jihad that doesn't involve any fight, no fighting in it. That is Hajj and Umrah. Hajj and Umrah. This hadith is collected by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah with a chain of narration that is sound, sahih. And that the obligation of performing Hajj and Umrah is once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-Hajj marratan faman zada fahuwa tatawwa. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this hadith that is collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, rahimahullah, Hajj is obligatory upon the people once in their lifetime. If someone wants to perform more than that, that's alhamdulillah, it's optional. قال ويسن الإكثار من الحج والعمرة تطوعا لما ثبت في الصحيحين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. It is recommended for those who have the ability to do so to perform Hajj as much as they can and Umrah as well. Not just once a lifetime and that's it. No, if you have the ability to perform Hajj more than once, do it. If you have the ability to perform Umrah more than once in your lifetime, do it. You can do it once every year, do it. Twice every year, three times, do it. That's good for you. Why? Because of this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the umrah to another, meaning when you perform one umrah, and you come home, and then you go back, maybe a year, 3 months, whatever, That's an expiation of the sins that take place between them, between the two Umrahs. Like the other hadith, al-Jumu'ah ila al-Jumu'ah, Friday to another, when you perform Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, is expiation to that which between them from the sins. Some of the ulama, they says, the minor sins, others, like Shaykh al-Albani says, including the major sins. Ayna'am, it's tafsil, detail, this is not the time to present that. However, here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, Umrah to another Umrah is an expiation of the sins that took place between them, and the Hajj that is mabrur has no other reward except the Jannah. Except the Jannah. And Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that أفضل زمان تؤدى فيه العمرة شهر رمضان لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عمرة في رمضان تعدل حجة متفق على صحته وفي رواية أخرى في البخاري تقضي حجة معي وفي مسلم تقضي حجة أو حجة معي هكذا بالشك يقول يعني معه عليه الصلاة والسلام ثم بعد ذلك العمرة في ذي القعدة لأن عمرته صلى الله عليه وسلم كلها وقعت في ذي القعدة وقد قال الله سبحانه لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. Also Sheikh bin Baz رحمه وتعالى, he says, keep in mind that the Umrah is to be performed the whole year. The Hajj has a months, well-known months to perform the Hajj in. However, the Umrah is open the whole year. You can make the Umrah in any given months of the year. However, Sheikh bin Baz, he says, but the best time you perform Umrah is in Ramadan. For those who have the ability to make Umrah in Ramadan. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one Umrah in Ramadan equals a Hajj. Equal Hajj. And this is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. In another narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, he says, equals a Hajj with me. Likewise in Sahih Muslim as well. Shaykh ibn Baz rahimahu wa ta'ala, he says, meaning, if a person perform Umrah in Ramadan, any given day of Ramadan, that equals in reward Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this great reward. You go make Umrah in Ramadan, the reward is like you performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But still, this the ulama keep in mind that this doesn't mean if a person, for example, didn't make Hajj before, and he went to Ramadan and make Umrah in Ramadan, that's it. No. You just get the reward of a Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ, but you still have to make the Hajj that is obligatory upon you. And other than that, in virtue, the Shaykh, he says, to make Umrah in the month of the Al-Qa'dah. Why? Because all of the Umrah of the Prophet ﷺ, they were in the Al-Qa'dah. And the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah the best example. Our beloved Shaykh Al-Allama, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, حَفِظَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Al-Abbad Al-Badr, he mentioned also the virtues of Umrah, and he mentioned the same ahadith, alhamdulillah, and he adds some other narrations. Alhamdulillah, you can find those in his book Tafsir al-Nasik bi Ahkami al-Manasik. Now, as we mentioned, this trip is a trip of ibadah, but you have to make sure you go with the right people as well. It's very important, as the ulama in their books, like Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Fawzan, all of the books that of our noble scholars, the ulama of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when they write in their books, when they write books about the Hajj and Umrah, towards the beginning they mention the etiquettes, some of the adabs and the etiquettes that we should observe during and before and after this beautiful trip and a journey. As from the adab is that a person should choose his companions, who he's going with. So you should go with the people of Ahlul Sunnah, people who are serious about their religion, because you're going to benefit with them. They're going to, alhamdulillah, because they're going to perform the Sunnah, the Umrah or the Hajj, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. No innovations. unlike other people. You go there, subhanAllah, you see a lot of innovations. People, they innovate a lot in Hajj and in Umrah, in Tawaf, in Sa'i, in many places. But you go with the people who are upon the Sunnah, who they learn how to perform the Umrah, for instance, or the Hajj, so that you perform it in accordance to what has been legislated. Especially that the Prophet ﷺ, when he performed the Hajj, he used to say and remind the people by telling them, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Learn from me the rites of Hajj. So any ibadah, that before we perform it, we have to learn. To learn it, how the Prophet ﷺ performed it, because that's what we were commanded to adhere to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So when you go with the people of Sunnah, upon Manhaj al-Salafi, they who adhere, not just by claim, who adhere to it, then inshallah it's a great benefit for you. It's a great benefit for you. And they, inshallah, they're going to take you to the ulama, they're going to arrange some meetings and some talks, alhamdulillah, you will sit and you will, alhamdulillah, the trip will be upon ibadah. Not just like people fighting, who's going to eat, where you're going to go, and taking you from restaurant to another. No, you'll be with the people who, they're going to, alhamdulillah, they joyful, nice, easy, patient, asking how you doing, what you need. And the most important matter is that you learn from the Sunnah, because they care about it, and they act upon knowledge, and they take you to the ulama. They say, listen, before they go, they already know the classes in the haram, if there is, who's the ulama that teach here in Medina, who the ulama that teach, where these classes, and then they be going to those classes. They won't be looking for Starbucks. Starbucks is right there. Yes, there is Starbucks by the haram, by the way. There is Wendy's and Hardee's and Denny's and all of those, McDonald's and Burger King, even though they call them different things, Burger King and all that, alhamdulillah. But they are there. But you go with the people of Sunnah, they're like, akhi, eat anything. One banana will do. One sandwich. Let's go, akhi. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi's class is about to start. Sheikh Rabi'a, akhi, we're going to go see him. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, we can't miss that class. We eat after the class of the Sheikh. These are the people you want to go with, because you're on a journey that is upon ibadah. We visit Sheikh Rabi'a Hafidahullah, who he moved to Medina a couple of weeks ago, because the Sheikh, he moved a couple of weeks ago, alhamdulillah, due to his health. May Allah cure him, I mean, give him shifa. And also because his maktaba, his library is not set up yet. SubhanAllah, 10 days or so, but they still didn't put everything together yet. Because it's a huge, huge library, a lot of books. And the students of knowledge who they are helping, may Allah reward them, they've been working, you know, day and night, and they still didn't finish to put the maktaba. SubhanAllah, enormous work, a lot of books. But still, alhamdulillah, we get to visit me and our brother Hassan al-Somali, Hafidhullah, who was on the same trip, alhamdulillah. We got to sit with the Shaykh, alhamdulillah. And we, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh has showed, alhamdulillah. SubhanAllah, he was happy to see us, and he started asking about the da'wah, how is it? Alhamdulillah, we gave the Shaykh the good tidings, that the da'wah is doing good, alhamdulillah. And it's spreading amongst the people, alhamdulillah. And that there is a great cooperation and ta'awun and ulfa and harmony, alhamdulillah, and mutual love amongst the du'at as-salafiyun. Those who wants good and wants to do what is right, alhamdulillah, there is nothing but love between them and ta'awun. Alhamdulillah. We mentioned that to the Shaykh, he was very happy. He mentioned, even subhanAllah, I told him, Shaykh, actually, the night before I came here, there was two people who took shahada. From them, our brother, he's here right now, right? Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Good, I'm fine.
Alex?
Yes.
Alex, right?
Yeah.
Nah. One of the great scholars, he gave you salam. His name is Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi. And I told him that right before we came here, Sheikh, There's two persons they took shahada, and he says, give them the salam and take care of them. Make sure you help them to learn the deen. And the Shaykh, he shared with us a story himself. He was in Sudan. He tells us that he went to Sudan for da'wah long time ago. And they were invited by this man in this farm. You know, take care of them in this farm. And the Shaykh, he noticed there was two people who was working for that man. They were non-Muslims. And the Shaykh said to him, Akhi, they've been working for you for how long? He said, long time. Did you call them to Islam? He says, yeah, I tried, but they don't accept it. The Shaykh said to him, you don't mind if I talk to them? He said, yeah, of course, Shaykh, please. So the Shaykh, he said, he began to talk to them. Alhamdulillah, look at the hikmah of the ulama. He said, they came in and he asked them questions. Man khalaqa as-samawat? Who created the heaven? They said, Allah. Oh, they're not Muslims. They said, Allah. Who created the earth? Allah. Who sent down rain? Allah. Who created the air we breathe? Allah. Who created you? Allah. He said, okay. So the one who created you and subject all these mighty creatures for you, he's the one deserves to be worshipped. So they start smiling. And then the man said to them, you want to be Muslim? They said, yes. And they became Muslims. Allahu Akbar. They became Muslims. Allah guided them to Islam. It's a ni'mah, subhanAllah. It's a ni'mah. So the Shaykh was happy, alhamdulillah, and he advised us to continue upon this path. And to be patient, alhamdulillah, and to continue to call and pay no mind to those mushawishin. People who they just want controversy and you want to stir problems, they said, leave them alone. It's not going to be. Once you start calling to the haqq, yeah, some people they're not going to like you. Ahlul bid'ah, or sometimes some people who claim to be upon Salafiyyah. They don't understand it correctly because they don't. They got issues themselves and they don't like how things is done. So don't pay them no mind. As long as you are connected to the ulama, just continue to do what you're doing, alhamdulillah, and relay the salam to the people in the West. And that sitting with the Shaykh didn't take long, maybe 10, 15 minutes. The Shaykh wasn't feeling good. We apologized. We said, yeah, Shaykh, inshallah, jazakallah khair. And alhamdulillah, he said, give salam to everybody, and we left. Shaykh Ubaid, actually, he gave us a talk, even though he was very busy. Even though some of the students over there, when we told them that, look, we got Shaykh Ubaid, they were like, seriously? The Shaykh actually was apologizing for months. People tried to get a class from him because he's very busy, the Shaykh, finishing some tremendous work. Explaining Mukhtasar, Sahih Muslim. And he's going to come soon, inshallah, in many volumes, subhanAllah. Fa'alayhi, and the Shaykh was very happy as well. And alhamdulillah, he gave a class and he explained the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. The hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. And in it that a man from a tabi'een, his name Abdul Rahman ibn Amr, along with a companion of him, they came to Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah to visit him because he was sick. And then they asked him for advice. And that's when he gave them the hadith. وَعَذَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَوْعِيَةً بَلِيغَ الْحَدِيثِ That the Prophet ﷺ has given us a serious admonition to the end of the hadith. Then the Shaykh, he says, we're going to give you only a summary of this hadith because he has already elaborated on this hadith and explained it in many times. And some of those times, it was for us here in America, alhamdulillah. But he mentions some benefits. Number one, he says, look how the tabi'een, who are from the noble of the people, because the Prophet ﷺ has praised them when he says, the best of the people is my generation, and those who follow them, meaning the tabi'un. He said, look how they have this diligence, they are so diligent to take knowledge from the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Meaning, this is only one example. There is so many examples you find the tabi'een, they go to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seek knowledge from them. Why? Because they know that the companions are the best of this ummah, are the best of this ummah. They took knowledge of the legislation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they convey it as it is. They didn't add nothing to it, they didn't take nothing from it. The second benefit, he says, also from this benefit of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, that you should go to the senior scholars and take knowledge from the senior scholars, especially those who are in your time. He said, because once again, look at Abdul Rahman ibn Amr and his companion, they went to Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah. There were so many ulama in their times, from a tabi'in, great scholars, but they went to a companion. He says, likewise, the importance of going and to the senior scholars in your time. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, لا يزال الناس صالحين ما أتاهم العلم عن أكابرهم فإن أتاهم عن أصاغرهم هلكوا. قال الشيخ والأصاغر هم الجهال وأهل البدع. He mentioned this, the author of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, the people, they will continue righteous, to be righteous, as long as, and together, united, as long as knowledge comes to them from their senior scholars. If they begin to take knowledge from the little ones, they will be destroyed. And his Shaykh says that those what is intended by the Asagar, the little ones, is the Juhal, the ignorant, and the people of innovation. The third benefit, he says also, it is from the Sunnah to visit the sick person. Because this noble, from the Tabi'een, they came to visit Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, and look how much benefit they gain from him. And the Shaykh mentioned many narrations, as you know, barakallahu feekum, of the importance of visiting the sick. If you know somebody who's sick, you visit them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth benefit, it was about the maw'idah, the admonition that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim. That Al-Irbad described it as he mentioned, ذَرَفَتْ وَجِلَتْ مِنْهَا الْقُلُوبِ وَذَرِفَتْ لَهَا الْعُيُونَ. It was an admonition that make their hearts tremble and their eyes shed tears. He says, how was the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ was? How was it? He said, every Muslim and Muslimah should know that his admonitions comprise two things. تَرْغِيبُ النَّاسِ فِي صَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ, to incite and invite the people to do righteous deeds. That's his admonitions. And the best righteous deed is what? Tawheed. To incite the people to be upon Tawheed, to understand Tawheed. And then the rest of the ibadat that Allah has made obligatory upon us, such as the five obligatory prayers, the zakat, the fasting of Ramadan, the hajj, being good to your parents, being nice and dutiful to your parents, and the like. Because these are the deeds that enable us to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while He is pleased with us. Likewise, His admonitions comprise the other side, which is تخويف الناس من المعاصي. Prophet ﷺ, he used to warn against sins and disobedience in a way that the people should be afraid of getting near the ma'asi and sins. Yet the greatest of sins is what? Shirk. Warning against shirk. And then that which come after it, such as zina, adultery and fornication, riba, usury, interests, uquq al-walidain, being disrespectful and dutiful to one's parents, and lying and ghiba and namima and the like. He said, well, any caller, if his mawa'id and admonition are like this, then he's following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, but if someone is not doing this, not following these guidelines of the Prophet ﷺ, these guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, He said, such as the people of innovation, you find them in their khutab, they just bring stories, entertain the people, get into politics. And worse than that, those who they give stories based on fabricated ahadith, the Shaykh, he says, and weak ahadith. He said, you think these people are following the sunnah of the Prophet? No, they are not. And which in the end, there is a question that the Shaykh answered the question. A person says, yeah, Shaykh, in his area, it is no Salafi masjid. It is a masjid of the people of innovation, Ahlul Bidah and Hizbiya. And in their khutab, subhanAllah, they just talk about stories, entertainment, and fabricated ahadith and the like. Should we, he says, we go attend the Jumu'ah, should we listen to those things? Or should we just like pluck our ears and don't even listen to the khutbah? The Shaykh, he says, no, you listen. You fear Allah to the best of your ability. You don't close your ears, but you go there. And but he said, you hate what you hear. And you hate the one who's saying it as well. As long as they saying bid'ah and innovations and falsehood, you hate what they're saying with your heart. Okay? With your heart. And that's it, alhamdulillah, and you pray with them the Jumu'ah. He says, because you fear Allah to the best of your ability, because you have nowhere else to go. Alayin, it was a beautiful, alhamdulillah. And then at the end of his class, the Shaykh, he asked me, he said, Abu Muhammad, tell the brothers, because it was the group we were with, he says, if they want to give the salam, and they were giving the salam. The Shaykh, he stood up, mashallah, and he gave the salam to everybody. And as we mentioned, ya Shaykh, this is so-and-so from this state, this so-and-so from here, from there. He came to Ramadan. I said, ya Shaykh, this is our brother Ramadan from Alaska. The Shaykh has a humor. He said to him, you came before your time. Said, Ramadan, you came before your time. Inshallah. Shaykh, give humor, you know. Some people, they think the mashayikh, they're just like this. Inshallah. They very nice people, easy, good, alhamdulillah. Ayna. And then Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari as well, we attend one of his classes. He didn't give us a direct class, but after the class, some of us, alhamdulillah, we have a sitting with him, alhamdulillah, and also he asked about the da'wah, and he gave salam to everybody. Some people, they asked him a couple of questions. Well, alhamdulillah, there were some people from France. There were some people from France, they were asking some questions as well. The Shaykh, he was asking them, how is the da'wah? How are you guys after what happened? Are you okay? They mentioned that they're going through some hardship in there. May Allah make things easy for them. Shaykh, he make dua for them to make things easy. And he said to them, you have to be patient. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And display the sunnah and the correct Islam through your actions, through your statements and decisions you make and the like. And then, alhamdulillah, me and Muhammad and Ramadan, we went to the Islamic University of Al-Madinah, and we attended one of the classes of Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi. It was a beautiful class, akhi, wallahi. It was like you go every day. The Sheikh, he gave a class. The Sheikh allowed visitors. If you go there, the Sheikh allowed visitors. You sit in the back, okay? Don't disturb the class. And you attend the class. And it was beautiful, ya akhi, subhanAllah, the Shaykh, he came. Of course, they start by, he gives salam to the people, they give him salam, and then he take attendance. You know how they take attendance, right? How?
Huh? They call him names.
They call names. And subhanAllah, it's amazing, when the Shaykh call names, and he ask about, how's your father doing? He knows the students. How's your father doing? How's everything over there? He asks about things. How's the tribe? Then he asks if some people like, because over there in the Arab countries, the last names are names of tribes. Some of them, they have names of tribes. So the Shaykh, he will even go, oh, you're from this tribe or the other? They have the same last name, but they are from two different areas. It's like, oh, from the, that shows the Shaykh, subhanAllah, he has knowledge of lineages and tribes and the like. And then after the One person, he called one name, they have to, when he called the name, they, those who are present, they have to say what? Hadir. I'm here, present. If nobody says anything, he's written. One of the students, he writes as absent. He called his name, and one student says, Ya Sheikh, he's coming. He just went. He said, hey, he's coming. He's not here. He's not here with me, okay? And subhanAllah, it was amazing when he began his class. La ilaha illallah. He's explaining, he go to the person and he's talking to him, and then he said to this person, go to this person, he put his hands on their heads like this. SubhanAllah, it was amazing. And then he began to say, he was talking, and then he switched, because I understand him, you know. He switched and he began to say lines of poetry on sleeping. Because one person was sleeping. And he, subhanAllah, lines this. By the way, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, poetry. Poetry, subhanAllah. Allah, of course, Quran, Hadith. But this man was dozing like this. And he told him, I wish if I remember that lines of poetry. And the man was like this. And the Sheikh, he went to him and he put his head. On his hand on his head, I don't know what he did. Ruqya Allahu A'lam. The man after that, he was like this. So beautiful. And he goes between the ranks, because there was like 40, 50 people or more in the Sheikh. He goes between the rows and he talks this one and he asks this person, what do we say? Who is that? SubhanAllah, everybody is wake up. He's up. Everybody is awake. And he was about Imam Abu Dawood. Abu Dawood Sijtan. Stand for Salah? Fatah Iqama? Or Adhan, actually. See. Allah is Ta'ala. Na'am. Faddal Yaq. Na'am. So that class that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi has was for the students of Hadith, that they study in the faculty of Hadith. And there was another one for the students in Kulliyat al-Sharia. And he was about Imam Abu Dawood, al-Sijistani, Sahib al-Sunan, Sunan Abu Dawood. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah asama Abu Dawood li sababain. Allah saved Abu Dawood from innovations and the like for two reasons. Two reasons. أولا سلوكه طريق أهل الحديث والأثر, because he was upon the path of أهل الحديث and أثر, those who adhere to the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ and that which the companions and the tabi'un they were upon. And number two, لزومه لأهلها بل لإمام أهل السنة أحمد بن حنبل, and because his study under the great Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. This great Imam, that Imam al-Shafi'i said about Imam Ahmad, he says, and by the way, Imam al-Shafi'i was one of the teachers of Imam Ahmad. He's one of the Imam Ahmad's teachers. And he said about him, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ أَحَدًا يَطْعَنُ فِي أَحْمَدٍ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. مَاذَا لِأَنَّهُ يَطْعَنُ فِي السُنَّةِ. Imam al-Shafi'i said, if you see someone yat'an, slander or insult, to speak ill of Imam Ahmad, you should know he's a kafir. Why? Because he's not slandering Imam Ahmad for his person, but for the sunnah that he was upon. For the sunnah that he was upon. And then he mentioned, subhanAllah, he said, التمسك بالآثار هو النجاة. You want safety? There is no other way except to adhere to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he was mentioned, now for you to understand that Allah protected Abu Dawood from innovations, how would you understand this? How would you understand? Is by the knowing that where he lived. Sukna Abu Dawood bil Basra. Abu Dawood, he used to live in Basra. What is the deviant sect, the main deviant sect that was in Basra? Al-Qadariya. SubhanAllah. As they were predominant in there, Allah saved him from that, even though he lived amongst them. وَبِجِوَارِ الْبَصْرَةِ حَرُورَ. Not too far from Basra where he lived, in the suburbs, what was Harura. The place of who? The Khawarij. Allah saved him from the Khawarij and from the Qadariya. Two deadly sects. Because he adhered to the narrations. He adhered to the Sunnah of the Prophet and to the way of the companions and the Tabi'een. وَالْكُوفَ قَرِيبَ مِنْهِ. And Kufa, he was very close to him as well. What is the deviant sect that was predominantly in Al-Kufa? Al-Rawafid. Shia Al-Rawafid. And you find him, subhanAllah, save him. He's right there. He lived in the same time when these deviant sects, they were predominant. Qadariya in his hometown, Al-Basra. Al-Khawarij, just right in the corner, as we say. And the Rawafid, right next to him as well. But Allah saved him for all of that. How? Because he adhered to the Sunnah. Likewise, ya akhi, you may live in an area, the masjid you attend is Ikhwani. Miles away, Tablighis. Around the other corner, Shia. Ahbash. And then what? Allahu Akbar. How Allah is going to protect you from all that? Sunnah. If you adhere to the Sunnah, you learn the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and apply it in your life. Because if you don't know the Sunnah, it becomes easy for you to be drafted by these deviant sects. Alayin, and then the Shaykh, you understand why he wrote certain books. Because those books, when he wrote them, that it was a refutation to those, like Ar-Raddu ala Ahli al-Qadr. He has a book, Ar-Radd ala Ahli al-Qadr. Naam. Refuting the people of Qadr, those who deviated in the Qadr. And he has another book, Fada'il al-Ansar, the virtues of the Ansar. This is a refutation against who? Rawafid, who hate and speak ill of the companions in general, except from a few. And also he has another book that he has written that he refuted the Khawarij. He called it Akhbar al-Khawarij. But in it he has mentioned all the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi that refuted the Khawarij. Anyway, alhamdulillah, those trips are always the good trips. First of all, as I mentioned, there are trips of ibadah. Alhamdulillah, there are trips of ibadah, an act of worship. And also, if you go with the right people, alhamdulillah, they will take you to the ulama, and you will sit and you learn from their etiquettes, from their akhlaq, and from how they talk and how they treat you, alhamdulillah. And of course, you perform the umrah, which is a great act of worship. You get to drink zamzam, and you get to pray janazah. Not just every day, every salat. Allahu Akbar. We pray janazah here once every 4-6 months, and you may even miss it. Akhi, in both masajid, in the haram, in Mecca and in Medina, after every salat they say what? Who knows? As-salatu ala al-amwat. And sometimes you say, wal-atfal, and the children. This you hear it, As-salatu ala al-amwat. Meaning the, and sometimes they be more, they be like 10 of them at one time. And that's a great ni'mah, ya akhi, to be able to pray janazah, not once a month, every salat. After every salat you perform janazah. That's another great benefit. And of course you drink zamzam because zamzam is available in there. You don't have to wait for someone to bring some and give you a sip. And I apologize, I didn't bring none. You know, Allah al-Musta'an. But subhanAllah, you drink zamzam in there. And it's a great ni'mah. It's a great ni'mah to be in the place when the Prophet used to walk and the companions. and to be able to sit in front of the ulama and benefit, especially those who have Arabic. And I used to have this brother, subhanAllah, he was with us. He knew a little bit of Arabic, but he used to record. He used to go to the Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and record his class. And he will come to me and we're tired. He's like, "Akhi, listen to this, man. Give me at least one thing." I'm like, "I was there. I gave you a little bit." And I gave him. But when I came home, I find him in my emails because I didn't check them over there. I find the brother, he sent me all the talks that he, subhanAllah, he asking me, "Please translate for me." Beautiful talks from Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad because it was about marriage. It was very, very beneficial, alhamdulillah. So I'm sharing this with you, Ikhwan, for many reasons. One of them is to incite you and to be, alhamdulillah, put it in your schedule. If you have some money, the first thing should come to your mind, go get this benefit. Of course, take care of your families. If you have debts, pay them off. But we shouldn't be dunya oriented. I gotta get me more stuff, I gotta do this. Nah. You gotta get more rewards. Go for this trip on Umrah, inshallah ta'ala, so you can get the benefit from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. I mean, may Allah make it easy for those amongst us who are not there yet, but try to be serious about it. Ask Allah to make things easy for you. Put it in your agenda, inshallah, the same way you get that car, that Camry or that Nissan, whatever it is, that nice F-150 truck, okay? How you get it? You put your mind into it and you begin to save and this and this until you get it. Well, put the Umrah and Hajj in your mind and begin to save here and there. You don't need another pair of shoes because you already have 12 of them. You don't need another jacket because you already have 6 of them. You don't even have no room for them in the closet. You don't need to be whenever a new iPhone, you want to go and get it. Why? What's wrong with the one you have? Some people are like that. They're gonna go and spend $700-$800 just because they think they have to have it. You know, you already have a flip flop phone. What's wrong with that? But you're gonna put the $800 on the side so that you can go make a Umrah. You can make Hajj so that you can get this great benefit, inshallah. And you may come back again with some benefit and share with the people. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimi kathirun.